And we are just really still prayerful about what the future is for our leadership there. But she did a great job, and we have a great group of staff in that ministry is doing well. And I also want to talk a little bit about our Terra Kids leadership. Taylor Philippi is our youth director, our volunteer youth director. And he's a great guy. Used to be on our staff, took another job, and is still continuing to serve. Does a great job. And there's a whole bunch of you that serve along with him. And I want to recognize your service as you help our teenagers, our young people, dig into God's word and think about what it means to be a follower of Christ. Well, we have some exciting news about Terra Kids and Terra Youth today. This morning is the last Sunday that our nursery and our toddlers will be meeting on the first floor at 4:15. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You just dropped off your little ones there. We have been working on remodeling upstairs. We had two oversized rooms that we've divided into four very good-sized rooms, which will allow us to have all of our children's ministry, all of our Terra Kids upstairs, which may not mean a lot to you, but it's a big help for us as we try to staff that on Sunday morning. Also, I think the thing I'm most excited about this move today is there'll be groups of volunteers from these different classes that'll be moving stuff in the next week or two to getting ready for this transition. The thing that I'm most excited about is as the nursery area, the current nursery area and toddler area is emptied out, the teenagers of our church for the first time in our 11 and a half year history are going to have their own youth area. And that is a big deal. We're just grateful for how the Lord provided. Now, we won't go into that, but the Lord gave us an opportunity to move into this new space. So as Terra Kids moves upstairs, Terra Youth is going to have their own home. So if you love to paint, come talk to me or talk to Taylor Philippi. We're going to be transforming that room into a youth area a little bit at a time. We're going to start with some paint. And I'm just excited. Our teenagers have been meeting wherever we had room for them. Broom closets, offices, you name it. And they're going to have their own area with three rooms, one good-sized room, some smaller rooms for them to break out into groups. There's just a lot of room for them to grow. We're excited about what the Lord has for us in these two ministries. So I want to feature these this morning because Terra Kids and Terra Youth are just they're not just additional ministries that we offer, just something where you can drop off your kids. They are the primary pieces of our discipleship strategy as a church. All right, we talk about kids and teens as the future of the church, and that can sound a bit cliche, but it's true. They are the future. We want to make sure that we are instructing our kids in the way of the Lord, in God's wisdom as they dig into God's word, so that they would know the Lord and serve him. They're the future of the church as we continue to be a church that plants churches. We need that next generation to be strong in their faith and be ready to step up and to serve in the coming years as we reach the Capital District, as we continue to reach the Northeast with the gospel of Christ. So again, Terra Kids, Terra Youth, not just another program we provide. The front line of our discipleship strategy. Now, I could tell you that if Terra Kids, Terra Youth, I could say, hey, that's the place where we educate your kids and we disciple your kids and we help them learn the Bible. But that would be a short-sighted strategy if that's how we envisioned our ministry to our young people. I want you to think about this for a minute. The job of discipling kids and teenagers, of educating them in God's word and helping them see Christ, that does not belong to the church collectively. That's not our primary job. The primary responsibility for the discipleship of children is parents. And the primary place where that happens is not in our wonderful facilities the Lord has given us at 4:15. That happens in the home. So the vision for us for these two ministries is we want Terra Kids and Terra Youth to serve as catalysts for the growth of your children. We want to be resources for you as parents. We want to be there to help parents raise up that next generation of Christ followers. We want parents to be able to lead their children in this journey of faith. Now, are we there yet as a ministry? Not quite, but we're getting there. All right, I'm very pleased about the progress we've made. For Terra Kids in particular, we have a great curriculum. If you're a parent, I think you've noticed that this new curriculum we've had here, it's a solid format. It's able to really help our kids see the gospel, see Christ throughout the pages of Scripture as we see what the bigger picture of what the Word of God is teaching us about God's redemptive plan. We have great volunteers. both for our kids' ministry and for our youth ministry. So we're positioned well. We want to be that ministry that's a catalyst in your kids' life, a help to you as moms and dads. So please keep Terra Kids and Terra Youth in your prayers, and I ask that genuinely. We want to be there to help parents raise up that next generation of Christ followers. Well, as I share this ministry, or this vision for ministry this morning, and I talk about how parents have the primary responsibility for discipleship, some of you as moms and dads might be sitting here kind of feeling a little bit of pressure right now, like, wow, I guess that's me. I guess I have that responsibility. Maybe some of you are maybe feeling a little guilty as you think about this idea that the spiritual development of your child has not been the priority it should be. Well, I'm not here to make you feel anxious or feel guilty about your shortcomings as a parent. Actually, I seen her this morning needing to make a confession. I'm not where I need to be as a dad. I'm not where I need to be as a father. I'm not doing so well in a lot of areas. If I can be honest, I've not been leading my home like I know I should lately. Too often, I yell at my kids. I'm grumpy with my wife. I feel the pressure of busyness. Instead of spending the time I should as discipling my kids, it's too easy to get caught up in the laundry and the dishes and all the tasks that come along with raising four children. So as I speak to you this morning, I just want to share just where I'm at in my struggles. And I know how busy it is. I know how hard it is to raise kids. This morning, I'm not going to add to the list of things that we need to do as parents. I'm not going to give you new methods or techniques that you need to apply for parenting. I don't have 10 principles for successful parenting or 5 habits you should practice with your kids. So I don't know about you, but reading another parenting book right now is just, it's not easy. It's kind of daunting. There's just a lot going on in our lives. Some of you know our story. The last 2 years have been very challenging with my son's medical issues and just adapting to life with a child with disabilities. Our bandwidth has been stretched. And I don't know where you are as moms and dads in this room, but you might be able to relate to that. You feel that pressure to be that leader in your home, just to invest in your kids, but you know how hard it is. Hardly have time to keep up with laundry, all the things that happen in a given day. Well, I recently kind of had this kind of feeling in my gut where I just knew I'm falling short as a parent. And as Pastor Ed and I were talking about how to use this opportunity to talk about Terra Kids and Terra Youth and dig into God's Word, I began to think about how I was struggling to be that leader in my home. And I need to do better at parenting my kids and be more regular with those things like family Bible lessons and stories. So as I was wrestling through this, going, man, it's been hard. It's been tough. I'm not where I need to be. I kind of just started to ask myself, well, what is the main thing? If I don't have time for anything else, what is the main thing that I need to be teaching my children? Regardless of how tired I feel, regardless of how stressed we may be, what do I need to share with my kids when I don't have time for much else? So I want to put that question out there to you folks this morning, particularly parents. What is the most important thing Christian parents can provide for our kids? What's the most important thing? What's the number one thing we need to make sure our kids get? If especially in these seasons of life when we feel overwhelmed and busy, what's the number one thing we got to make sure that we provide for our kids? How about unconditional love? That's very important. Support, safety, security, we got to provide for our kids. Those are non-negotiables. I get that. We need to be there for our kids. But what is that thing we need to provide for our kids to prepare them for the journey of life? You know, maybe it's academic enrichment. We got to make sure that they're doing well in school. They get what they need to succeed. You know, maybe it's cultural. Cultural experiences. We want to make sure that they're well-balanced in life. Get an opportunity to see a lot of things and experience a lot of things. Maybe it's creative opportunities. We want to make sure our children's creative talents are realized to the fullest, whether it's in music or art or whatever it might be. Maybe it's extracurricular activities. You know, if you're big into sports, you want to really make sure you're boy, he's got to spend some time out there in the driveway shooting free throws, or got to get him into the batting cage, or she's got to make sure she's got to get her swim lessons in. What is it that you think is the most important thing? Maybe it's Bible lessons. Maybe that's that. Hopefully, we're thinking about that. Theological discussions with our kids. Certainly important. Well, I want to put forth today, but maybe the most important thing that we need to focus on as parents, particularly in those times when life is busy, when we're feeling overwhelmed, is we need to make sure we are helping our children to understand the gospel. Helping our kids to understand the gospel. And I know we're in church, so maybe that sounds like a good answer. So let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians this morning. I want to talk about the significance of this, why our kids need to hear the gospel from us and what that looks like. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. A passage that if a discipleship pastor was going to get up and speak about family ministry, this is probably one he would go to, right? Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, Keith's in the back. He'd love to help you out. If you just want to raise your hand, it'll be on Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be in Ephesians 2 in a moment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's an important passage. And you know, there's probably been sermons preached that you've heard where we've spent a good chunk of time right there. This passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How many of us have quoted that to our kids at times? But you know what? We can run the passages like this when we want to talk about how we are to raise our kids to love Jesus. But I think it's important that we jump back to Ephesians chapter 2. Without Ephesians chapter 2 here, we're going to be here for a moment. We really don't have that foundation for Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll turn back a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, as we think about this idea of preaching the gospel, of communicating the gospel with our kids, to our kids. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the mind, or of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here is the Apostle Paul laying down the foundation of the gospel. We were once children of wrath, there in verse 4, but now we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you'll bow with me in prayer as we begin this morning. Our Father, we thank you that you looked down upon us and loved us, Lord, loved us in our sin and our brokenness, Lord. You had a plan to send your Son to give his life for us, Lord. We were children of wrath that you saved out of sin, and you've made us your own. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful passage here in Ephesians 2 that so clearly shares this gospel message. Lord, may you open up our eyes to the things that we need to see today and our ears to that which we need to hear. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have both as parents but also as a church family to bring up these children, these young people you've given us, to know you and to love you, Lord, and to love our neighbors. We thank you, Lord, and we just want to dedicate this time in your name, Jesus. We pray, amen. All right. Well, hey, if you're here today and you're not a parent, maybe you're not married yet, maybe you're not planning to have kids, maybe your kids are grown, you're a parent, but they're out of the house, then I think you may be tempted to think that the teaching today is not going to be really relevant for you. And I want you just to stick with me. Stick with me this morning. There's going to be something here for all of us. First of all, if you're part of this church, then this discussion is important because we all need to be investing in the young people, the children, the young people of this church here. We need your help. I know as a parent, my wife and I, we can't do this on our own. So many of you folks have stepped up at different times as we've spent time in the hospital. And we thank you for that. You've been our family here in Troy, in the Capital District. We appreciate that. We need each other. As parents, we need you folks. So many of you that are willing to do that in the lives of other families. Maybe it's because your kids are grown, they're out of the house, and you're there to step up. And that's for the church. That's why we exist, to encourage one another. The other reason that today's teaching is relevant for all of us this morning is because we're going to be talking about the gospel. We're going to be talking about the good news of our Savior who came to this earth, like we just read, to rescue us from our sin, to deliver us from the wrath of God so that we can be saved by his grace, so we can have that new life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in your faith journey today, whether a parent or not a parent, maybe an empty nester grandparent, there's some good stuff in here for you this morning. Today we're going to be talking about the gospel, parenting the gospel to our kids. In a sense, I think it's really a theology for how we do children and teen ministry here at Terra Nova. So this morning, we want to lay out a roadmap just to give you an idea where we're going today. First thing we want to talk about is we want to make sure that we know what the goal of Christian parenting should be. What is the goal of Christian parenting? There's a lot of people have different ideas of what the most important thing is for their children, what they hope to impart to their kids for those 18, 25 years, however long they're in your home. So we want to talk about that. Secondly, we want to look at the idea of how we establish the gospel as a foundation of your parenting. Establishing the gospel as the foundation of your parenting. And lastly, we want to talk about this idea of to parent the gospel. Parent the gospel to your children. So let me ask this question. What is our primary goal in parenting as Christians? What is our primary goal? What is our desired outcome? Now, I think there's some commonly held goals out there. Sometimes it's good behavior. As long as my kid behaves well, especially in church, I'm happy. Okay, as long as he doesn't embarrass me, I want to send him off to school and he or she is not getting in trouble at school. If we just get the children to just calm down and behave. How about good grades? Sometimes that's the goal of parenting. I want my kid to be successful. I want my child to be able to get into that good college, university, a good program. I want my child to succeed. Maybe it's extracurricular success. Sometimes that can be the primary goal of a family. We want to see her do really well in particular sports or whatever extracurricular activity that is. Maybe it's future success. Future success. As a parent, we may have some dreams for our child. Get into a good school, get a good degree, a good career, find the right person to marry and so forth and so on. I mean, those are all good goals, but I want to ask it again. What is the primary goal as Christians as we raise our kids? What should our goals be? Well, as we look to passages in the scriptures like Deuteronomy 6 and the Proverbs, which we just covered earlier this summer, and the places like Ephesians 6 that we just looked at, we see patterns for the people of God, particularly as we raise up that next generation. The Lord calls us to instruct our children in the faith. Right, that is one of our primary responsibilities as parents. We are to point them to the grace of God. Point them to the grace of God as we help them understand how God has redeemed us. He's redeemed us from sin and given us this new identity in Christ. This in mind, the Bible leads us to an understanding of what our goal should be. What should our goals be? I think it comes down to I need, as a parent, need to point my kids to Jesus. need to point them to Christ. All those other things are great. I do want to see my kids do well. I want to see them behave well, especially in church. I want to see them be prepared for their future. But you know, all those things are great. However, if I don't help them see Jesus, then I'm missing such an incredible opportunity. I want to point my kids to Jesus. I want to guide them in what it means to become a disciple of Jesus. I want to help them to learn how to love the Lord their God and to love their neighbor. Think about what our goal should be as a parent. So as we consider that, I just was thinking this week about, well, what is my primary responsibility? What's my primary responsibility as a parent? And I put this kind of down here, the next slide here. My primary responsibility is to love our children, to love our children by providing for their needs as we guide them in the journey of character development and faith in Jesus. Now, might be better ones out there, but this really resonated for me. To love our children by providing for them, it's definitely we need to do that. While we guide them in the journey of character development and faith in Jesus. And we're going to come back to that, this idea of a journey. All right, parenting is not just reacting in the moment to that when that bad behavior surfaces. It's a journey. Sometimes we respond to our kids' disobedience and disrespect as if it's something unexpected. And I feel that way sometimes, like, I can't believe they're doing that. And I have to remember, our kids don't come out of the box ready to go. They just don't. They need lots of care, lots of training. They need love, and they need discipline. And they take time. They take time. We can act surprised and frustrated when our kids don't behave the way they should. I know I've been there. However, they're like us. Our children are people like us. They're sinners like us that need the grace of God, except they have less experience and poorer judgment. I have 2 5-year-olds. I know that firsthand. It's our job, folks, to lead our children on a journey of learning and discipleship. And discipline as they discover the grace of God that's found through faith in Christ. Our job is to lead our kids on a journey of learning and discipline as they discover the grace that's found through faith in Christ. And with that in mind, I want to encourage you that parenting is a process. Parenting is a process. We must resist that temptation to view parenting as a series of unrelated corrective events. I've got that line out of one of the books I'm going to reference in a minute. I thought that's it. We need to resist that temptation to see parenting as just this series of unrelated corrective encounters where we react to bad behavior. And if we don't see parenting as a process, a lifelong process, when we don't do that, we get frustrated, we get annoyed, we get burnt out by their bad behavior, their poor choices, the negative attitudes that we address every day, right? We can't get so focused on winning that battle today that we forget the long-term war of helping them understand boundaries and learn the way of following Christ. Parenting's a lifelong process. And I think this can be a hard paradigm to overcome sometimes for us. It can be a hard paradigm in that we have this life, especially if you get married and maybe you have a couple years before the kids come. You have this life of yours and you're enjoying it and you have your rhythms and your habits, and suddenly kids come in and just destroy it, and especially if you have several of them. It can be a hard paradigm to overcome, but you must see your role as a parent, not as a rule enforcer, but as a shepherd who leads your children in a process of discipleship. We got to be in it for the long haul, Mom and Dad. Transformation in the lives of our children is not like parenting whack-a-mole. One comes up, we hit it. One comes up, we hit it. Over here. I feel that way, especially at the dinner table. If you don't have kids yet, you'll get it. We just kind of react or honestly overreact to those issues that come up. And forget that the parenting is a journey, not just for them, but for us. We need to walk with our children. Walk with our children on this journey of faith as people who, just like them, need to be redeemed. Redeemed as God transforms us from the inside out. So where do we begin? We talk about this idea of the gospel and parenting. Where do we begin? It starts with establishing the gospel at the foundation of your parenting. All right? Now, books and seminars are important and helpful. My wife and I have read a good number of them and been to some seminars. There's no shortage of books out there. And I'm going to throw two up on the screen. I could easily recommend a half dozen that I really like. But these are two that I think, if I had to reduce it down to just two books, I think you ought to read. These are two books. And in fact, they're written by two brothers, Ted Tripp and Paul Tripp. And their parents must have done a pretty good job on them. They have really good principles to share from God's Word. Solid books, I think, will be very helpful to you. But that's it. That's all I'm going to provide as far as methods and techniques. This is more of an overview here as we try to think about this idea of the gospel, the foundation of our parenting. Parenting is investing your life in your kids to help them understand what it means to know the Lord and to follow Him on this journey of faith. Parenting is that investing in the life of your kid to help him or her understand what it means to know God and to follow the Lord on this journey of faith. And this happens not just by reacting to behaviors or attitudes, although correction and discipline is important. We guide our kids in this journey as we walk with them. So you walk with them, especially during those moments of correction for bad behavior. So we have opportunities to share the gospel with them through these teaching moments. We can help them to learn how we all need a Savior to fix what's going on in our hearts. Our parenting must be grounded in the gospel. Whatever methods or techniques we learn will tend to be about behavior modification. And there's a place for behavior modification. At times, we just want to get through dinner. But techniques and methods, as I said, they're more about behavior modification than they are about the transformation of your child's heart. That only comes through the work of Jesus Christ. The foundation of our parenting must be the gospel. The ultimate goal of parenting must never be well-behaved kids. The ultimate goal. We do want well-behaved kids. But that should never be our ultimate goal. Our job is to love them as we address disobedience, as we address foolishness, but not just so we can get them to conform outwardly so they don't embarrass us in public. This is so that they're able to understand their need for God's grace. Understand their needs for God's grace. As we walk them through the struggles that are common to all of us, we are able to communicate the gospel. Gospel-based parenting, if I can call it that, sees correction and discipline in the life of a child as an opportunity. An opportunity for God to work on his or her heart. As we address those behaviors that come up, and we should as parents, we get opportunities to talk about what's going on inside. Talk about sin. Talk about repentance. Talk about our need for forgiveness. You know, not every instance of bad behavior leads to deep conversations. I have four children. We have to pick those opportunities. But we also need to be looking for them as they arise. When we have those moments where we talk to our child about the problem at hand, then we need to take that opportunity to help them see the bigger issue. Breaking a rule, hitting their sister, talking back, they're all symptoms of what's going on inside. You know, I think in the heat of the moment, we can forget that. That's our job, mom and dad. Our job to help our kids understand that their failure to obey, their struggle to resist temptation, it all points to their need for a Savior. So what's this look like? What does this look like in the day-to-day? What's this look like? Every time I discipline my child? Do I need to open up the Bible and have these discussions with them? Well, no, that's not going to happen every time. Not exactly. Gospel-based parenting isn't just another method. Again, there's good methods out there. We threw up a couple of books. There's plenty more I can share with you. But it's not just another method. It's the idea. It's the way that we approach the struggles that our kids have with honoring and obeying mom and dad. It guides our attitudes as parents. I think that's important. It's about keeping the main thing, which is helping our kids to know Jesus as they learn to recognize what is at the core of their struggle, what's behind their bad behavior. And it's the same for us as it is for them. It's that heart that is prone to selfishness and sin, a heart that needs the grace of God. So this morning I challenge you to parent the gospel to your children. Parent the gospel to your children. What does it mean to parent the gospel? Well, as I was thinking about parenting, so much of parenting is communicating, but it's also modeling. I mean, communicating and modeling is really parenting. So when you talk about parenting the gospel, it's really, we need to be teaching our kids. We also need to be modeling the gospel to them. So it starts with teaching our kids the gospel. Keep the gospel in focus when you're while you're a parent is more than just talking about the forgiveness of sin and how we respond to God's grace. It's more than just that. I mean, that's where it starts. We need to have conversations with our kids about the good news of Christ. So don't underestimate the value of having these conversations, maybe reading Bible story books. Those are the opportunities come out of that. Maybe talking to your kids about what they learned in Terra Kids or Terra Youth. That's a great opportunity. That's why we do this. We want to help you folks, give you opportunities. All right? There's some Bible story books that are good out there, and plenty of them. And here's one that we found recently, and we've especially appreciated it. And I last book I threw up, I promise. But this book, it's the Jesus Storybook Bible, Sally Lloyd-Jones. Great, great book. What I appreciate about it, it doesn't just view these Bible stories as nice, good stories about being kind or being nice and so forth and so on, which is good. But, you know, when you look at the story like how Jesus took that little boy's lunch and fed all those people, all right, the main point of that story is not just that Jesus was being kind. All right, it's good to be kind, but that wasn't the point. Jesus did this miracle that day to show the people that he is the bread of life, that he can be there to nourish their hungry souls. He did that to show them that they need him in order to have true life, eternal life. So as we look at Bible stories, there's plenty of opportunities to talk about what is that gospel message that points us back to Christ. So there's a good resource out there. Again, this is one of the reasons that I'm passionate and the church is passionate about our Terra Kids ministry, Terra Youth ministry. We are here to help you, mom and dad. We want to be providing good Christ-centered Bible lessons for your children, your teens, that you have something to talk about when you go home. All right, we're going to be challenged, especially the teenagers, to live out God's word, figure out how they can apply God's word to life. And Taylor and the great staff that serve in Terra Youth do a great job with that. All right. You need to help them recognize their need for a Savior. Help them recognize their need for a Savior. As I said before, our primary role as a parent, it's not merely a rule enforcer, it's a shepherd. We need to shepherd them as a fellow disciple who's following Christ. As a fellow disciple, think of it as you, especially as we correct our kids, understand that they are at the same place that you are, just quite a few years removed. They're people that need the grace of God, just like you. Parenting the gospel to your children starts with understanding the gospel. I mean, I'm understanding here, but it also means living it out in your own heart. Living out in your own heart. Understanding the gospel is so important. Do you know the good news of Jesus Christ? And I know that that's a basic thing, but I don't want to take it for granted. What is the gospel? The gospel is described for us in the pages of the Bible. We are currently, we have a little pause here in the summer, we're currently going through the Bible and the people of God series from Genesis to Revelation. And we're able to see how this collection of stories is really just one big story of God's redemptive plan. That points to that center, the centerpiece of the scriptures, which is the death of our Savior and his resurrection and the life that he provides for us. The gospel is described there in Genesis in chapter 3 when the first man and woman, they don't trust God, they reject God's good plans, and they bring the curse of sin upon this creation. Sin and brokenness becomes our existence, and we see that story played out in history. Sin is a condition common to all of us. And yet even there in Genesis 3, there is the promise of a redeemer. The redeemer is our only hope. Through Christ, we can be rescued. We can be rescued. He gave his life for us. This is the gospel. That's that story that we need to be communicating to our kids as we work through their, even their bad behavior. So we need to understand the gospel. We need to make sure we are living out the gospel. Is the gospel in your heart? Is the gospel in your heart? We can struggle to communicate the gospel to our kids, not just in terms of the basic details, but how it actually works out in our lives if we aren't living and breathing it. If we're not living and breathing the gospel. What do I mean by that? Understanding the grace of God will change you. Will change you. And if there's something going on in your life and the gospel has lost its luster, maybe it's you just don't seem to appreciate it as much, and there's something going on in your heart because God's word and the grace of God is powerful. The gospel of Jesus has not sunk down deep into your heart to soften you, and you're going to struggle to impart that good news to your kids. Folks, the legalism and rigidity that often go along with reactionary and behavior-focused parenting, that breeds in our heart when we don't appreciate our own sinfulness, our own brokenness, the needs that we have for a Savior. You want to impart the gospel to your kids, it starts with a heart that's surrendered to the Lord, a heart that's humbled at the cross. You know who you are so that you're able to minister to them. Parenting the gospel must come out of your own journey. Come out of your own journey. We must share the gospel with our children as men and women who've been profoundly changed by the grace of God. And I can't overstate that. Our kids, they need authority. They need authority, and parents, God has placed us over them as their primary authority. However, we need to be there to guide them on this journey of discipleship. This journey of discipleship. As people who are walking that journey ourselves. Moms and dads, you are their parent, not their judge. Resist the temptation to stand in judgment over your kids in the sense that you are doing God's job. Don't take things personal. And sometimes I fall into that trap. Don't take things personal. When our kids disobey, when they sin, even when they defy and challenge our authority, their sin is ultimately, it's not against us. It's against God. Don't take things personal. Confront their bad behavior. Confront their respect. Not as their judge, but as a fellow disciple of Jesus that the Lord is redeeming. When we make it about us, then our kids can miss the fact that it's God's law that they're breaking. Might be my rules, but it's God's law they're breaking because they're not submitting to God's plan. We need to help them to understand that. Like us, they ultimately need his forgiveness, his grace. Our kids, they can placate us with good behavior and conformity to the rules that we established. I got really good at that in junior high. Mom and dad thought everything was going great, but it wasn't. Our kids can placate us with good behavior, conformity to the rules, but the Lord doesn't look on the outside. He wants our hearts. He wants us to obey and submit to him, not out of fear, not out of obligation, not out of this idea they might get caught, but out of a response to his love, a response to his love. Lording over our kids does not help us communicate that very well. We need to apply the law through correction and discipline. I mean, it doesn't mean that we, gospel parenting doesn't mean that we don't confront bad behavior. That's our job, mom and dad. But gospel-based parenting takes sin seriously. It takes sin seriously. We need to apply the law as a New Testament concept in order to address bad behavior. However, as we do that, we need to make sure we're doing that for the purpose of instructing our kids in the gospel. Children need authority. They need boundaries. And they need to be confronted, need discipline when they cross those boundaries so we can help them learn from their mistakes. Confronting disobedience, all these, maybe it's the comments they make, the disrespect, all these things. Confronting them is that first step that God gives us in teaching opportunities to talk about the gospel. In this way, there's grace in applying the law. There's grace in confrontation. There's grace in confrontation. This way, applying the law becomes a tool, but a tool not just for modifying behavior, but to point our kids to Jesus. Pointing to the grace that comes through Christ. We love our kids when we address their foolish behavior, their disobedience, when we confront their sin. But remember that confronting them, that disciplining them, that the application of the law will not deliver them from the grip that sin has on their heart. The Apostle Paul talked about that in Romans, particularly chapter 7. So the law is useful, but it's useful only for confronting us over our sinfulness. The law can only leave us in our sin. Our confrontation needs to point our children to Christ, to the gospel. Help them understand the richness of God's grace, the richness of God's grace. The last thing I want to mention was we need to live out the gospel in front of our kids. Live out the gospel in front of our kids. I have a daughter who just turned 11. I realize she's probably more than halfway out of the house. Our children, they're not really ours. They're not really ours. The Lord gives them to us for a time. I think my kids find it interesting. They want to know, do you still obey your mom and dad? Like, well, I still honor them, but I'm out of the house now. I'm a grown-up. The Lord gives us our kids for a time, and that time goes by fast. Before we know it, they're in their teen years, and after that, they're out of the house, and some of you are in that stage of life right now. Pray for the grace from God to model these gospel attitudes to your children. And that's what I mentioned as we wrap up. It starts with humility. Humility, as you live out the gospel in front of your kids, it starts with knowing who you are. Know who you are. Regardless of how many books you read, how many seminars you attend, bringing up kids is hard. And they need to know that you need God's grace just as much as they do. So it starts with humility. It starts with dependence. No amount of discipline or brilliant parenting techniques can change the heart of your child. Only the transformation that comes from God's grace can do that. We need to be dependent on God. We need to understand that we've got to trust the Lord for our kids' journey. We do our best, but it's up to Him. We need to be honest. We need to be honest in our journey. Our kids need to know that we struggle with some of the same issues that they do. We may have more common sense and self-discipline, but we need the gospel as much as our kids do. Let's make sure we communicate that. We need to have patience. We need to have patience with our kids. Remember again, when our kids are breaking the rules, when they're rebelling against our authority, it's the Lord that against whom they are sinning. They need His grace. And lastly, we need to have faith, mom and dad. We need to have faith. We need to have faith because we know that raising kids can feel oftentimes like it's nearly impossible. And when we realize that whatever we say or do has limited impact, our children need Jesus. Our children need the Lord. We need to trust in Him to work in their hearts as we do our job to point them to Christ. And lastly, parents need to pray. You men and women who pray for our kids. Well, hopefully there's some principles there as we talk about this idea of parenting the gospel. I'm gonna have the band come up here and we're gonna close. We have a chance to celebrate the gospel together. Celebrate the gospel. We're gonna have the Lord's Supper. We celebrate the Lord's broken body, his shed blood. And this is an opportunity for us to celebrate the gospel that we have together. So let's pray this morning and dedicate this time, and we will celebrate this as a church. Father, I thank you so much that we can come together each week and celebrate what you've done for us, the gospel message. Lord, that you gave yourself for us to save us from our sin and to make us like you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for that parent today who's struggling, who's discouraged. Lord, may he or she come forward today and be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper, knowing that the gospel is powerful, powerful to change hearts of us as parents or of our little ones that you've blessed us with. So we want to dedicate this time to you and thank you, Lord, in your name, Jesus, we pray.